Today, we're going to take a look at judging other people, about criticizing other people. And we look at what Jesus says here. This is Matthew chapter 7. I could also read it in Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Jesus says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned." So let's talk about this today. Jesus, when he says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." What's that mean, actually? Does it mean that we can't ever judge anybody for anything? Does it mean we can never offer a criticism or make a judgment? Or does that mean, what does it mean? Let's take a look at these things today, and I have a whole set of pictures. Now, normally, just to let you know, the sermon is about 4 pages long. Today, it's about 54. But do the math. Actually, it's mostly pictures, so it shouldn't be too long. Any rate, so what does it mean when Jesus says, "Judge not"? What does that really mean? You know, a lot of people have a real mixed up view of what "judge not" actually means. And if you look at the world, for example, what do they say? If you turn over here to the world, what does the world say about the word "judge not"? We're living in the age of tolerance, right? You know, if you look at unbelievers in the world, they don't know this Bible at all. They don't know the scriptures. But there's one verse they know very well, which is "judge not," right? So as soon as you want to make a judgment to them and say, "Hey, that action that you're doing right there, that's a sin," or "that's wrong," or "that's leading to perishing," or "that's leading to damnation," repent. What happens? What's the world do if you try to call them out on a judgment as to what they're doing that's wrong, and you're making a judgment that you think is right based on the Word of God, which is according to His Word? How does the world respond to this? It's the age of tolerance, right? Let's take a look and see if I can find a picture here of what people would look like. It's like that, right? So this guy has just told this girl, "Hey, by the way, you shouldn't be living with your boyfriend, or in this case, your girlfriend maybe sometimes, outside of marriage." What do you get? A mouthful. The world's going to come up and attack you for making a judgment. "How dare you say such a thing to me? How dare you stand there and sit in judgment and pass a judgment on my actions? How dare you say anything that I do is wrong? Didn't Jesus, your Lord, say that you should not judge? Look, you're not obeying Jesus. You're not obeying Jesus. You should just live and let live. Let me just go on. Just love and say nothing and let me go in whatever direction I want." Isn't that true? The world, their theme for understanding this verse is that you should never judge at all. Look at this girl. You know, her lips are all pursed. She's pointing a finger. Notice what happens when the world is judging us, saying, "Don't you judge me! Don't you judge me!" What are they doing? They're judging us. So they're all okay with judging other people. And in fact, the world is full of people criticizing other people right and left, throwing black arrows to hurt and wound and criticisms and judgments. And yet, when it comes to you in righteousness trying to make a judgment and say, "That's the wrong way to go," well, they're going to come at you and attack you because they're going to know this one verse of the Bible, which we're looking at today. "Judge not that ye be not judged." Didn't Jesus say that? "Well, obey your own Lord," they would say. And so, tolerance. The world we're living in is the no judgment zone. They don't want you to say anything. Actually, the biggest thing they would like to say to you is shut up. Keep your mouth closed. Say nothing. Do nothing. Let us just continue to go on as we please. You live your life, we'll live our lives, and say nothing to us. And so you're made to go out of the, you know, they're condemning you for making a word and trying to share a word of judgment, and out you go out the door. They're condemning and pointing a finger at you, and this is their theme. Don't judge, just love. That sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, in the right context, that would be a good word. But the way they're using it is, don't you say one thing against anything that I do. Because in judging and passing judgment on my actions, you're condemning me, and therefore you're a judge, and you're not my judge, and how dare you say such a thing? And out you go. So, What happens, though, if we don't judge anybody? What happens if you never make a judgment call as a Christian and tell another, a neighbor of yours or a family member? Or if a parent never makes a judgment to his child or a criticism and just lets them go on and do anything that they want? Destruction. Good, Michael. That's right. If you just let everybody do whatever they want at any time and you never make a judgment call, it's sort of like kids walking across a street. You know, all of us in this life are like, we're walking across a very dangerous road. The world, there's all kinds of things that can hurt us, destroy us, sins that will lead us into getting hit. And these kids happily are walking across the crosswalk where they're supposed to. Hopefully there's a green light arrow over here saying, walk now, walk. And when it says red, stop, you're supposed to stop. And so what happens if you don't have any judgments in this world and you never make a judgment as a Christian and other people don't, what happens? Uh-oh, this girl, she was crossing and, well, that's just probably a fake picture, but she got nailed by that car passing by because she didn't follow any of the rules. Don't judge me, just love me. And what happens? Wham, bang. And so we need to walk a straight and a good path and make judgments in this world. Jesus says, stand by the roads and look. Ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. And you'll find rest for your souls. But the people of Israel said, no, we will not walk in it. We'll run away. We'll go our own direction. And God is making judgments all the time, isn't he? By means of his prophets. He says, you've done these things. You've done these things. You hold assemblies. You make sacrifices. And yet your hands are full of blood and treachery. And you lie to one another. And you steal. And you're evil towards one another. Come back, Israel. Come back. But they run away. And when the world today still continues to run away, when we make a judgment for them, they don't see the sign which says, bridge out, road closed ahead, be careful. And as Michael said, what happens? Yikes! This person goes right off the cliff. Ah! And that looks like a big fall right there. That's got to be another fake picture. Who could jump that high? That looks like a half a mile up there. God says in Jeremiah 2, have you not brought this upon yourself by forsaking the Lord your God when he led you in the way? So, let me ask you a question. You participate. Are we supposed to judge, make some judgments in this world? Yes. Yeah, this word, judge not, doesn't mean that you don't judge. God actually calls us to make judgments in the world. In fact, let's take a look at this. In John chapter 7, verse 24, who knows that one? Can you read that far? Are your eyes that good? Look, he's squinting over here. Jesus says in John 7, verse 24, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. Is that a command? That's a command. You Christians, and myself as well, we are commanded by God to judge. So settle that in your minds right now. You are commanded by God to judge, to make judgments. So judge not that ye be not judged can't mean that you make no judgments at all. It's a special thing he's talking about there. Jesus made judgments, didn't he? Repent or perish, he tells to the people. To the Pharisees, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful to people, but within you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Cleanse the outside of the first, the inside of the cup, so that the outside also may be clean. And the lawyers, he spoke against them too. He says, woe to you, lawyers, for ye lay men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. You know, when I was thinking about the sermon this week, I came across a chapter in Luke where Jesus is invited over to someone's house. And I'm thinking, what a scene. Jesus is the guest. The other guy is the host. And from the time he gets there, he criticizes everything they're doing, actually, in a good way. But he's like, all of you have chosen the best seats here. Don't do that. Choose the lowest seat so that then your guest, your host can come put you higher. And to his own guy that invited them there, invited Jesus there, he's like, when you invite a feast like this, people to it. Don't invite your friends or your rich neighbors. Invite the poor, the maimed, the blind, the lame. They can't repay you. You'll be repaid at the resurrection of the just. I mean, if you look at that scene, you know, Jesus is healing people when they're all angry, and then he's saying this is wrong and that's wrong. You got to make a judgment. But it's for their good, to build them up, right? To save them, to show them the right way to go. And that's a good thing. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So if you have Jesus, and he's before you, and his word is before you, you can walk in justice in the earth. You can walk in a safe path because you see the light of this world. You don't fall into darkness like other people who don't want any rules, and they'll fall into the sea below and perish. So make judgments. So judge not by appearances, but judge with right judgment, Jesus says. So what does that mean then? Judge not that ye judge not. What does that really mean? The world is constantly going to say this theme. Don't judge, just love. Don't judge, just love. Don't judge, just love. You guys ever see Princess Bride? You know that movie? You never saw Princess Bride? Montoya? When they have that word, you know, inconceivable. And he keeps saying, I don't think you know what that word means. Well, when the world starts telling you, judge not, just love, judge not, just love, judge not, just love, you got to say like Oniga Montoya, I don't think you know what that word means. You keep saying no judge, but I don't think you know that. What does actually don't judge mean? Let's take a look at that. You got to read it in context. So let's open up here and read that. Let's do the Luke 6 version here. Verse 37. Judge not, and you'll not be judged. Condemn not, and you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Or in Matthew chapter 7, it says, with the judgment with which you judge, you shall be judged. What kind of judgment is he condemning here? In fact, just a few verses later, he says, why are you upset about the speck that's in your brother's eye, but don't you see the log that's in your own eye? What kind of judgment are we not supposed to have here? It's a judgment. Well, we read that in context there. So it's a judgment that is about just going after people like a hen. Peck, 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 peck. Fault finding, criticism, criticism, cutting down, destroying, gossiping, going after people, that kind of judgment. Where he says, you are doing the very same things as they're doing, and yet you're judging them in a self-righteous, holier-than-thou, looking down your nose, picking on other people, judging in an evil way so as to destroy. That kind of judgment is not to be had amongst Christians. Amen? Do we see this kind of thing? We certainly see it in the Bible. Let's take a look over here, for example, at David there in the Old Testament. Remember this scene? Nathan comes to David. David's already committed adultery, had sex with a girl who's another man's wife. And killed her husband. And he thinks he's done it in secret. And then Nathan, here the prophet, comes and tells David, David, king, there's something happening in your kingdom. See, there's a poor man who had a little baby, little lamb. And there was a rich man who had all kinds of flocks. But the rich man went and took that little poor man's little baby lamb and took it away from him. What should happen to that man? David the king gets very upset. He says, that man should die for what he has done. And Nathan says to David, king, you are the man. You have all these things. You're the rich man, but you've taken this man's little lamb, and now you've even killed her husband. You are the man. What happens? He's making a righteous judgment. Nathan is, but David, he was ready to judge and condemn and slay and destroy, though he had done worse himself. That's the kind of judgment we're not to have. Holier than thou, looking down on other people, judging them as, you know, by a standard we would not judge ourselves by. Do you know the Pharisees in the New Testament did this very thing? This is what Jesus is talking against. They're constantly finding fault. You're wrong with this. You're wrong with that. And they brought this woman who'd been caught in adultery to Jesus. And they said, Moses commanded us to stone such. What do you say about her? What do you say about her? And they all had stones ready to make a judgment against her and kill her. Jesus bends down, writes with his finger on the ground. They continue to ask him. He looks up and he says, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And he once more writes with his finger on the ground. What do? They all drop their stones and walk away, beginning with the eldest, because they had to admit that they themselves were sinners. Are you judging other people in your life, though you've done those same sins? How do you want to be judged by God? That's the way we ought to judge other people. Wouldn't you want to correct somebody and to go in the right way, but in a way that helps them and builds them up? Or in a way that destroys them? God doesn't want you to be making judgments so as to destroy people, but so as to build them up. Look at these girls. What are they doing with this person walking by? You see that picture, that look all the time, right, in their eyes? See, can you see that far? Oh, look at that dork. Look at that girl. Look what she wore to school today. Isn't that horrible? You know what they're doing? They're making judgments. God is very angry with that kind of discussion. Look at that. They're making fun. You're an idiot. You're a moron. You're a jerk. They're picking on other people. You see these kinds of things with parents sometimes. They're not making a righteous judgment to the children, but they're saying, you're fat. You're stupid. You'll never amount to anything. That's also condemned by God. Don't speak evil like that so as to destroy. How about with our president these days? You might not like our president. You might like our president. I don't know. But it's continually, every day, what does it look like? We're supposed to honor our leaders. Of course, he wouldn't hold his head down. He holds his head up despite it all. But you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. This kind of thing goes on all the time in our world. We're living in a sinful world. This is what Jesus is speaking against when he says, judge ye not. He's saying, don't go calling people out on evil when you yourself are evil. Judge them as you yourself would want to be judged. How would you want to be judged, John or Michael or Christy? How would you want to be judged? You would want to be judged in a way that you have your sin pointed out in a good way that then builds you up to walk in the right way. That's the way you'd want to be judged. And Jesus says, beware in Matthew chapter 7. Beware. For there are many poison-tipped black arrows in the world. Ready? Got a black arrow. Notched from my tongue. Ready? The world all the time is like, you idiot. You jerk. You'll never amount to anything. Black-tipped arrows. This is what God is against in this. Don't judge with a black-tipped poison arrow so as to destroy. Because Jesus says it's like a boomerang. What you shoot out there is going to come right back and hit you, your own heart. Because with the judgment with which you judge other people, you shall be judged. What kind of judgment should you use to judge other people? With the judgment that you would want to be judged by. How do you want God to judge you? Pass a judgment on you so as to destroy you? Or point out what's wrong in order to build you up? Jesus says, beware, because on that day, when Jesus comes, the judgment that you've rendered towards other people shall be used against you in the court of God's law. So beware. Don't speak evil of one another, James says, or pass judgment on other people. For with the judgment, you know, because there's only one lawgiver and judge, that's God. So what should we do? Black arrows anymore? Anybody going to do this? Gossip. Pick on other people, put them down behind their back, put them down to their face. Let's get rid of that one. God says, white arrows. Let these be notched in your heart, in the quiver. Words of my word, gentleness, straight words, good words, judgments that are going to build people up and bring them to salvation and point them in the right way. Make those kinds of judgments. Judge with right judgment. Judge in a way that will build people up. And you're even commanded to do it. Think about this. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. You love Proverbs, don't you, Michael? You know that one. Has a friend ever spoken and shot an arrow at you of judgment for your good, to actually help you? Has that ever happened? Sure, I'm sure it has. It's happened to me. I remember when I was sailing on this ship, isn't that beautiful? That's Nathaniel Battich out of Rockland, Maine. Of course, it's now been rebuilt, etc. But in the days when I sailed on it, it looked like this. And they were sailing down towards Massachusetts one time from Maine. We're offshore with this boat, and I remember I was sitting there about this part of the deck right there, talking with a guest aboard, because in those days I was following Jesus and also some Native American teachings. Wrong. You know what this guy did? Very kindly, a stranger, but as we were talking, as a Christian, he spoke to me some very good words, but he challenged me. He said, you know, Greg, you're talking a whole lot about Jesus, and you're talking a whole lot about this Native American thing. You can't do that forever. You're going to have to choose which one you're going to follow, Jesus or this other guy. And I was like, white arrow. I still remember to this day. It's been like, 30-some years or something like that? And yet that arrow went in, and it caused me to go, the guy's right. I got to follow Jesus and skip all this other stuff. That was a faithful wound from a friend, a judgment, but it was a white arrow meant to lead me in the right way. And then to go into the good path. This is what God wants us to do towards each other and what we want to be done to us. So what kinds of things are you supposed to judge as Christians? What should you judge? The Bible says, but he that is spiritual judges all things. All things. Yet he himself is judged by no man. And so God wants to make good judgments about everything. Because you're children of the Heavenly Father, who's the just judge, whose justice is high above the mountains. You are his people. Make good judgments about all things. What kinds of things? Well, I'll go through this quickly here. You know, fathers, make good judgments towards your children. Give them a good word. Give them a white arrow. Now, you might have to cut somebody down sometimes, but sometimes we do that to build them up. It's always got to be with the arrow of building them up. And we say it with good tact and with love and good intention. Pastors need to make white arrow judgments to their congregations. And you need to make ones towards me too. What if I get here and start preaching to you heresies and perversions and things that are not in accordance with the truth? What should you do, Tim? You should, yeah. Thank you. That's a judgment, isn't it? Darlene said, shoot me. Who said it? Oh, now you're pointing to somebody else. I see how it is. So, precisely, you make a judgment, that's a good thing. Get rid of me if I were to do such a thing. Or go, you know, or don't accept that word from that week. Whatever. But I labor to give you the word. Is the word I'm giving you today God's word? Amen. Yeah. So, pastors judge their congregations. Congregations judge their pastors in goodness and righteousness for each other's good. You have friends that help friends. Like we said, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And the second picture here, I have to represent, you know, share with an unbeliever. You know, you're going the wrong way. Don't you judge me. You're going the wrong way, though. I love you. This is the right way. It might get in. It might save them. So make those kinds of judgments with people. And in all things, we're leading them on the path of life, on the path to Christ, to his cross, to his salvation. That's when we make a good judgment towards other people. And so, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more matters pertaining to this life? Can you imagine this? On the day of judgment, at the end of the world, the Bible says you're going to be actually sitting in judgment with Christ to judge the world, and angels who are, you know, powerful creatures, these foul spirits that are in the world right now, you'll sit in judgment and pass judgment upon them with Christ. Do you know that you're going to judge angels? How much more then matters that are pertaining to this life, says God. So now, let's go into the final section here. Well, no, two more sections here. When people judge you and pass a critical word towards you, what do you got to do? What should you do? Well, You got to determine which arrow you're getting, right? If you're getting a white arrow, if someone is speaking this for your good to lead you in the way of Christ, a reproof enters more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. So if you're a wise man, a good person, and someone criticizes you in a good way with judgment to build you up in Christ, that arrow should go in there and start forming in you righteousness. So if someone rebukes you, it might be a little hard to take, but he's only forming you to make you like this beautiful butterfly. You're going to be formed into the image of Christ. So accept that arrow. What happens, though, if someone comes and criticizes you? Ron, what if someone criticizes you with a black arrow meant only to destroy you? That's not in accordance with God's word. What should you do? Hold up that shield of faith with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. They won't get in. Naomi, my daughter, when she was like 4, she was getting criticized as a toddler once because she had a bunch of kids at the little preschool thought, you know, you believe in blue horses. And she was so demoralized and crushed when she got home because she believes in blue horses and they wouldn't accept that. So we made this cardboard shield. And I said, Naomi, this is what you got to do. When it's a criticism like that, and I took crayons, you got to hold up that shield of faith. And I'd say, you know, you're stupid. There's no blue horses. You're bad. And she'd hold it up and hold it up and hold it up until she got brave and started pounding back those crayons with her shield. That's what you got to do. If it's a white arrow, let it in. If it's a black arrow, just deflect it. It's not from God. It's from the evil one. Don't accept it into your heart. Now we're in the final section. Hooray. Look, Jesus came, and he's going to be the judge of the whole world. All people shall be judged by this man, God's own son, on the last day. And Jesus' judgment to the world is this: all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, and we're all alike condemned under the righteous law of God, says the scriptures. And the wrath of God is coming, thunderous, dark, a tempest coming on the earth with great fury and wrath. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's fixed the day upon which he'll judge the world by Christ. Sin brings death and judgment between man and God. Judgment. And yet Christ loves you. The Bible, Jesus says, come unto me. Come under the shelter of my wings, and I will save you from the judgment that is to come. That's for the very purpose that he came, was to die on the cross for our sins. Where God's righteous wrath against sin was dealt there, the blow to Jesus, and he satisfied the justice of God, dying for us and reconciling us to God. For in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against us, but entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. He was raised from the dead on the last day, reconciled man and God, and calls us to repent and believe on him that we might escape the judgment of God and come into friendship with him. Here's the last slide. You ready for it? All right, take a deep breath. Here we go. Jesus, our Savior, risen, reigning at the right hand of God, speaks to you right now through me. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me, that person has eternal life. He does not come into judgment with God, but he's passed out of judgment into life. Oh, praise be to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have friendship with God in the forgiveness of our sins through the Christ. And therefore, Jesus says, now that you've been saved, don't go out and judge in evil thoughts like the world, lest you be judged. Condemn not, and you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. The measure you give is the measure you get back. Be like your Father. Be merciful, even as your Heavenly Father is merciful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Judging Others in an Age of Tolerance by Pastor Greg Lucier at Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral.